is the body of Christ. Each and every one of you play a very vital part in that body. No one is left out of it. And have you ever asked yourself before, what exactly is my part here? You know, what purpose do I serve? Have you ever really thought about that or given it any thought as to what you should be doing as you're part of the body of Christ? Well, we're going to go through some of that today. And I'm going to ask a question. Have you ever asked God to tell you what His purpose is for you? And have you ever heard Him speak to you in that still, small voice that He speaks to us? He intends for us to be willing to not only listen to that voice, but also to act upon that voice. He doesn't want us to just hear Him and then not move forward in that, what we have heard. We can question for a certain length of time, and it's kind of like that story about the guy with the boat that was, there was a storm coming along, and God sent a boat, and He said, well, I'll wait for the next one. And then He sent another one. And He said, no, I'll be okay. I'll wait for the next one. And then you get the third one that comes along and He still passes it up. Well, the next thing you know, he drowns. And he gets to heaven and he says, God, why'd you let me drown? You know, and God says, well, I sent you three boats and you didn't get in any of them. Well, it's sort of like His voice. That's how He speaks to us. In a very still, small, quiet voice. And then He's quiet. He expects us to say to Him, yes, Lord, I hear You and I will obey You. He doesn't expect for us to just think, well, nah, I'll do that later. Because later never comes and you never do it. You talk about doing it, you have every good intention of doing it, but you really just kind of let it slip your mind, and next thing you know, you're down the road and you're wondering why you can't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. I can't hear You, Lord. Well, He's tired of talking to us and us not listening to Him. That's what it is. The more you communicate with Him and the more that He communicates with us, the more conversation is going to go on. And He wants to communicate with us. He doesn't want it to be a one way where we cry out to Him and tell Him everything that we want. And then it never happens because we don't even be still long enough to let Him answer us, much less let Him talk to us and then us do what He asks us to do, and then move forward to the next time that He speaks to us, and the next time, and the next time. Because He so desires for us to listen to Him, Him speak to us, and us obey. Because that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to be obedient servants of the Most High God. We were not put here on this earth for ourselves. Needless to say, it takes us some time to get to the point that we realize that we're not put here on this earth for ourselves. But when you get to that point, then He blesses you beyond measure. He communicates with you constantly. He's walking right alongside of you every step of the way. And that's what we want Him to do. We want to know that He is ever present with us in everything that we do, because we can't go this walk alone. We might think we can, but we cannot go this walk alone. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit now about what the body of Christ is and what we are supposed to be doing as the body. So So can you pull up 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to run through some of these scriptures. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? Yes, it's of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" You see what I'm getting at here? There's a lot of different parts, and every part is necessary. It says, "But now God has set the members." Who set the members? God did. Have you ever stopped and thought about the fact that you are here because He set you here, not because you chose to just come here? He placed you here for a reason, so that He could grow you up and use you for His purposes. It says, "If they all were one member, where would the body be? And now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" We'd be kind of funny looking body if we didn't have any feet but had a head, or either head had feet and no head. I mean, every part is necessary. "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be the weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have the greatest modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body." He did it. We didn't do it. God composed it. It says, "Having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body." And I may have said that wrong. It may be schism. I hadn't quite figured that one out yet. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, listen to this, if one member suffers, all of the members should suffer as well. Or if one member is honored, all the members should rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, I'm going to touch on schism, whichever one it is. It means to be a split or a division between strongly opposed sections or parties. It's caused by differences in opinion or belief. It means division, split, breach, rupture, break, separate, discord, and disagreement. And God says there is to be none of that in the body, not one bit of it. So we may disagree with a part of the body, but that doesn't give us right to divide the body in any way whatsoever. We should not speak against another member. You may not like something somebody put on that particular day. It's not your call. It's God's call. He's the one that is the judge, not us. We don't have that privilege to do so. And if we do, we're out of order. So, and I want to talk about the elect of God. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4, and before I start that, I can remember, I used to think that the elect of God was His prophets and His evangelists that went from place to place, which the Bible does speak of those in the Old Testament. But we are the elect of God. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work in faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. He chose us. He placed us. And we have to be willing to take that position and understand how important that position is, and also that we are not to speak against God's elect in any way. So none of us can talk about anybody else in here, because if we are, we are dishonoring what God's Word tells us to do. So, Romans 8, 33 and 34, it said, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So we have to really be careful what we let slip off of our tongues. There's power in what comes off of our tongues, and what comes off of our tongues should be used to bless and not curse. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit now about in Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and I'm going to stop right here a minute. There were so many scriptures that referred to the body of God, that a body of Christ in the Bible, that it was like I was trying to just weed through and get it as just to the meat of it all, but it was all meat. I mean, it was just so much. So y'all just bear with me. But it says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So we all were called. We're all called by God, and we're called to walk worthily of that. Says, with all lowness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, how? In love. So we are to bear with each other in love, no matter what the circumstances. We are called to love each other. We may not like each other all the time, but we have to learn to get over it, and we have to love each other. Okay, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we've got to be unified always in order for the body to be strong, and to remain strong, we have to have unity within the body of Christ. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's in us. So we've got to find out what it is that He wants us to do, which we know mainly is love, and to walk in it at all times. All right, we're going to talk about that God gave each of us with His grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So Christ gifted us to do different things in this local body. And we're going to talk about Tyrone and Carol, who are our pastors. They are responsible for the flock, totally. They're probably the most accountable before God for their actions of anyone else in here. They not only pastor, but they visit the hospitals, they do counseling, they do funerals, they do weddings, they do everything that you could possibly imagine, from going to Sam's and getting the toilet tissue for the church to preaching the services every Sunday, to bringing the word. So when we walk in this building every Sunday, there's a lot of preparation that has gone on ahead of us before we got here. Murray, Tabitha, Kevin, Charlie, all of those have helps and services. Now, I'm not leaving anybody out deliberately. I'm just touching on some areas that I know of specifically that people do certain things as God called them, and they are placed in service to do so. Murray takes care of this inside of this church. So when you come in and you've got a comfortable environment to be in, it's because he and his wife both have worked diligently to make certain that it's that way. They keep it up. Kevin, he takes care of the outside. He cuts the grass to make sure that all of that is taken care of, so when we come up, we're not this high in grass outside. I know Charlie doesn't want me to say this, but she cleans the pews and cleans the carpets. I've seen her leave the office and work in here for days with nobody, not wanting anybody to know what she's doing. And that's what God expects for us to do, is if we see something that needs to be done, just do it. That's God saying to you, I put that on you not to tell somebody else that it needs to be done, but so that you can do it. You know, that's a servant's heart. If you see a piece of paper, bend down and pick up the piece of paper. Somebody's got to get it, right? You know, I mean, that's what we are called to do. And if somebody if you see it, that's God laying it on your heart to get it done. I mean, that's just all there is to it. He may lay something on your heart about teaching. He may lay something on your heart about singing, playing music, whatever. But if he lays it on you to do it, then we are supposed to take it on and say, yes, Lord, your servant hears you. Yes, Lord. Okay. Then we've got the worship team. We've got the people who run the sound booth and play the instruments. Tabitha and Adam are here constantly. Ginger. I mean, Wednesday nights is practice night. This doesn't just happen when you walk in on Sunday morning. We've had practice on Wednesday nights. We've had practice on Sunday morning before you get here. There's prayer that goes on. There's a lot that goes on in preparing the worship songs for Sunday morning. I mean, I can remember when I led, I took great caution in making sure that the songs that were being sung, I had prayed over ahead of time. And I know that Tabitha and Ginger do the same thing and ask God, what does he want brought Sunday morning? Not, oh, well, I think I'll go back there in the box and I'll pick this one. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. They pray over the songs. They pray over the music to make sure that that's what God has laid on them to do. And it takes a lot of time and effort to do that, but that's their calling. That's what God has laid on them to do, is to take care of that. We have the musicians. They all have to be here and practice. That's Johnson and Maggie and trying to think who all else. Casey and Jeremy. But everybody that has to do with the worship has spent time ahead of time so that when we all come in and gather together, that we can effectively worship and praise our Lord. And that's their calling. Then we have the teachers. We've got Jonathan and Jenny and Mark and Shannon. And Stan and Donna take care of the nursery. Tabitha and Adam do the youth group. Jeremy and Casey, the children's church. And then there's others that I'm sure that I have not mentioned. But there's great preparation that goes into those classes before any of us step in the door and sit down and listen to it. I mean, it is, they spend a lot of time, they pray over it. They make certain before they start that they ask God's words to come forth and not their own, to take them out of the situation and let God's word be poured out so that the body can be strengthened and the body can grow. And it's vitally important that the body grows. Then we've got the men's and the ladies' group. That's Tim and Mark, Becky Ortez, Maggie, Tabitha and Adam. They take care of, like I said, the youth group and the children's church. There's a lot of preparation that goes into the ladies' functions. There's a lot of preparation when the guys get together and start cooking for the men to have breakfast or lunch or barbecues or whatever. It's a lot of work goes into that. But they're called to do that to strengthen the body. And they don't worry not one second about the fact that it's a lot of hard work. They just get in there and they do it, all of them. Then we have the ushers. We've got Bill, Hilaire, Bob, Cheryl, and the greeters that they're there every week. Tim and Mark, you're greeted by someone at the back door when you come in. Can you imagine if you just walked in the door? Nobody was there. You came in, nobody spoke to you. Nobody said anything to you. You think, this is not a very friendly church. You know, and I don't know whether I would want to be a part of an unfriendly church or not. So those are things that go into growing the body of Christ. And everybody has a part. And if you don't know what your part is, then you need to ask, and we'll pray over it, and we'll find you a part. That's for sure. So, we have a security team, which I won't mention who is on it, but there are people that are here to make certain every Sunday that this body is safe. There's preparation that goes on to make sure that when you're here, you don't have to worry. You're taken care of. You're safe. You're in a safe environment. We have Fall Festival that Jonathan and Sherry take care of. You've got the Vacation Bible School. You've got Tabitha and Adam and Jeremy and Casey and everybody that volunteers for all of those functions, which both of those functions are major functions that this local body puts on every year. And there's a lot that goes into it. There's a whole lot that goes into it. Not only with finances, but also with time and preparation and setup and takedown. It's just a lot that goes into it that we take for granted because we just see it all up and it's there and wow, that's nice, but we don't stop to think what all went into getting it to that place. So I'm just saying if you want to be a part, there's plenty of parts available. There's plenty of parts for each of us to dig in and grow and become a strong part of this local body because God ordained this body. He's the one that set up and said, do not forsake the assembling of the body together. Because the body draws strength from its members. And in order for us to live in this world that we all live in and be strong and productive, we've got to be able to lean on each other. There's another scripture that says, iron sharpens iron. How many times have you been down in the dumps and somebody just happens to come along and do some little something that's kind that just totally turns it around for you. So, and that's what the body does for itself. Okay, I'm going to speak on communion because the communion is a part of the body. I mean, that is a part of the body of Christ. Cheryl King, faithfully, for years, has come in and prepared and prayed over the communion. I've watched her pray over it as it's being prepared. So it's prayed for while it's being prepared. It's prayed for before it's served. You're prayed for before we partake of it. And each and every person draws strength from it because of the preparation that went into getting it ready. She doesn't just throw the crackers in there and pour the juice in and run out here and throw it down. There's a lot of prayer goes in, you know, and that's important because that makes us stronger as we partake of Him. The prayers of intercession have been prayed. You partake of it, and you're becoming a stronger individual from it. Okay. I'm going to touch on a couple of couples that I've watched. Johnson and Tolu came here. Robbie and April came here and just jumped in. I mean, it was like head first. There is not anything that you could ask either of those couples to do that they would say, no, I'm not going to do that. They're just like eager to serve God. And that's what we all need to be. We need to be so eager to do His will that we're not worried about whether we get out of here in time to go see a football game. It's more important to see that the church is closed up and secure and locked and that all the lights are off and the air conditioners are down and so that we are being good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Because all of that matters. Every little detail matters. And we walk in and we walk out and we don't really give a lot of thought to it. And I really felt like we needed to really think about what it entails to come in and out of here. And we're going to get to the importance of that in just a minute. We have helps, which means, like I said, we talked a minute ago about picking up paper, preparing for and setting up for church functions. You have no idea what goes into lugging those tables out, setting them up, setting the chairs up, putting the tablecloths on, getting the food ready, preparing the food, seeing that everything is set out for the body, then cleaning the dishes, taking it all down, putting it all away. And the more hands-on that are there when we have one of these functions, the easier it is on every person that is participating and staying after to make sure that it's all dealt with and cleaned up. I mean, it's a lot that it takes to do those functions, but the body needs that. The body needs that time of fellowship and breaking bread together and being together. So those are things that we all could do. Even if you're uncomfortable teaching a class, you can help. You know, everybody has the gift of helps. Every person has that gift. If you're not comfortable going to the hospital and praying for people, you can always help do something. You know, there's, like I said, God gives us certain gifts and according to faith and what we are able to accomplish according to the faith that we have, that we can accomplish those things. And we grow into those things. We don't necessarily just come in a baby Christian and start going room to room to the hospital praying on people. You know, I mean, that takes a little time. But we need to learn how to do that. We need to learn to go into a total stranger's room at Hancock Medical, and pray for them because they won't turn you down. I promise you, they will not turn you down. When they're laying there sick, they are willing to listen to you pray a prayer of healing over them. So, and that's what we're all called to do. Okay, we're going to go to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 real quick. Okay, it says, "And He Himself, who is God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Now, there's a purpose that He's done that, and that's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, which is going to the hospitals and going seeing shut-ins and taking food and taking people. I saw Shannon the other day. I'm going to tell off on her. She came riding across the parking lot of Claiborne Hill on a cart, grocery cart. And I'm like, "Did you hurt yourself?" And she said, "No." She said, "I've got a lady in the car that I'm bringing to the store. She can't drive." Well, that just made my day. That just made my day. And then I saw her in the store conversing with this elderly lady who could not get out on her own. And it lit me up. It just literally lit me up to see that, because that's what the body is supposed to do. The body is supposed to help the hurting. They're supposed to visit. They're supposed to go. They're supposed to feed. They're supposed to nurture. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, it says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So that edifies the body. She edified me by seeing that. Okay, "till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." That's what we're all supposed to be striving for, is perfection. We will not get there because there was only one, but we are to strive for perfection. That's what we're supposed to do. "To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should," listen at this, "we should no longer be children," we can be children for a little while, "being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up." Grow up. That's what we're supposed to do. We're all supposed to grow up. We're not supposed to come here and do the same thing week after week after week after week and not grow. We got to grow, because if we're not growing, we're dying. We've got to grow. The body needs to grow. Okay. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." So I may not supply the same thing that Cheryl King supplies, and I may not supply the same thing that Elaine supplies, but what she supplies and what Cheryl supplies are knit together, and it's like the cord that a third cord makes it stronger. Well, that's what they supply does. It makes me stronger. It makes you stronger. It makes them stronger. And the body is supposed to grow in strength. Okay, "knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective work by which each part," every part, "does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in" what? Love. Okay. All right. I've asked 5 people to come up and read some scriptures now. And if you 5 would mind coming up. Wouldn't mind, maybe. And the reason I did this is because I want the body to hear from other parts of the body that will bring strength, so that as we're knit together, we become stronger. The first one is Ephesians 5:15 through 21. Yes.
Ephesians 5:15-21. Walk in wisdom. See that you walk. Circumspectly. Is it on? Okay. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, because be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one to another in the fear of God.
Okay. And before we go to the next one, I want to just explain what dissipation is. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Dissipation is to descend into drunkenness, and it's to cause to gradually disappear or waste. Now, none of us want to disappear or go to waste, do we? So all we have to do is follow what the Lord tells us to do, and we will not fall into that. But if you open a door that doesn't need to be opened, we will fall through it into something that we don't need to fall into. Go ahead.
Living sacrifices of God, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Romans 12:3-8. Serve God with spiritual gifts. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Romans 9:13. Behave like a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. No lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality.
Ephesians 2:19-21. Christ our cornerstone. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
Thank you. Thank y'all. All right, in Ephesians 5:29-30, it says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but we nourish and cherish it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of the body, of his flesh and of his bones." That's pretty powerful. We're called in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails, but there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." But love is always going to be there. It's going to remain. Love is going to remain when we leave this earth and we go to be with the Lord. We're going to have love taken with us. And I put this in my own self. Love is selflessness. That's when you're concerned more with the needs of others than you are with your own self. The last that I'm going to talk about is just the body of Christ is also the tithe. The body of Christ is the Lord's table. And the body of Christ is taking what we learn and taking that love that is inside of here, outside to a hurting world, and then bring that back inside where we can have love inside again. And the last scriptures are Philippians 2:2-5. And it says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." And I just ask you this week to kind of ponder these words and ask yourself what you can do to help make this body stronger and what you can do to maybe reach out to someone that's not within these walls to try to strengthen that individual as well. And that is it. Y'all are dismissed.